Good day. This is Greg, and I'll be reading the Vermilion County News for Tuesday, January 7th, 2025. On the front page of the commercial news today, our first story is titled Snow Day. Vermilion County receives between 2 and 6.5 inches. This is by Caleb White. Kids all over Vermilion County rejoiced Monday morning as most schools, including both Danville Area Community College and Parkland College, were closed due to snowy, cold weather. Though Danville only received about 2 inches, just 6 miles down the road, Westville residents had to shovel up to 5 inches of snow. Georgetown received as much as 6.5 inches of snow, according to reports received by the National Weather Service in Lincoln. The reason some towns got more snow than others has to do with how the storm moved and the wind blew. Storms like this have an area called low pressure, where the winds spin in a counterclockwise direction, meteorologist John Baumgartner out of the National Weather Service in Lincoln said. These winds, which were coming from the northeast, brought drier air into the northern part of the county, stopping the snow from spreading further north. As the storm kept moving east, the snow totals ended up being very different from town to town, Baumgartner said. While there is no additional snow in the forecast for the week, residents should anticipate very cold temperatures. Wednesday night, the temperature is expected to hover around zero, and the wind chill could be even colder. Be smart. Treat it like winter. Dress in layers, Baumgartner said. For those who must travel, he advised keeping an extra coat and gloves and maybe a scarf and a hat with you, as well as a blanket in the event of a breakdown. Travelers are also advised to keep an emergency kit in their vehicles, including fresh water and non-perishable snacks, a first aid kit, a flashlight and extra batteries, a cell phone charging block, an ice scraper and shovel, and jumper cables. Also, tire chains and a tow strap. The blowing and drifting snow could cause patches of snow and ice, so even if it looks clear, don't drive too fast, especially down country roads. Baumgartner advised, in the event of an emergency, call 911 and stay put. The best cure is prevention, however, so Baumgartner advised those who can stay inside to do so. Next we have Fire and Ice heats up David S. Palmer Arena. For the first Friday of the year, January 3rd, the City of Danville held its annual Fire and Ice event at the David S. Palmer Arena. Kids of all ages and their parents ice skated while younger kids rode on sleds pulled across the ice by their parents at the free event. Danville Public Library was also in attendance, reading fireside stories, while members of the Danville Fire Department taught fire safety tips. This is my absolute favorite part, just watching the expressions, not only on the kiddos' faces, but the parents, said Danville Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. When parents get out there and have just as much fun as their kids do, it's like they're a kid again. It's just about family bonding time. You want to see everybody having fun and being happy, Williams said. And the final item today from the front page of the commercial news is a staff report titled Day of Mourning for Carter, set for January 9th. Federal offices, including the U.S. Postal Service, will be closed Thursday, January 9th. The day has been declared a national day of mourning by President Joe Biden following the death of former President Jimmy Carter. Carter's funeral will be Thursday at the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C. Locally, city and county offices will be open. Mail delivery of commercial news will be delayed one day due to the closure of the United States Postal Service. Digital copies will be available online January 9th. Because the day is not a national holiday, businesses and organizations are not required to close. The last national day of mourning was in honor of former President George H.W. Bush in December of 2018. And turning to the local pages, we have another staff report. This one is titled, Snow Aids in Sunday Police Investigation. Sunday's snowfall assisted Danville Police in its investigation of gunfire in the 900 block of Martin Street. Police responded to Martin Street at 4:30 p.m. Sunday after receiving a call of shots fired in the area and witnesses seeing subjects running after the shots were fired. DPD officers investigated the scene, and with the help of the community and the weather, tracked a suspect to a residence within a two-block radius of the shooting scene. DPD Deputy Chief Terry McCord said, "With the assistance of the Vermilion County State's Attorney's Office, officers obtained a search warrant for the residence. Officers arrested 19-year-old Alvin L. Daniels at the residence and recovered a firearm. Daniels was taken to the Vermilion County Public Safety Building and booked on charges of aggravated unlawful use of a weapon, aggravated discharge of a firearm, and obstructing resisting a peace officer. If you have any information to add to this incident, please contact the Danville Police Department at 217-431-2250 or anonymously through Vermilion County Crime Stoppers at vccrimestoppers.org using the mobile app P3 Tips or by calling 217-446-TIPS. The Danville Police Department reminds the public that an arrest is an accusation and all subjects are innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. And we have another staff report. This one is titled, Danville Man Arrested, Charged with First-Degree Murder. A Danville man has been arrested and charged with first-degree murder in the December shooting death of Joseph Jones. Jones, 35, of Danville, was found deceased at the intersection of Collett and William Streets at 11 p.m. on December 21, 2024. The Vermilion County State's Attorney's Office assisted the Danville Police Department in obtaining an arrest warrant for the charge of first-degree murder on 28-year-old Daryl L. Boston of Danville. DPD gathered evidence suggesting Boston was a suspect in the death of Joseph Jones, DPD Deputy Chief Terry McCord said. On January 4th, at about 1 a.m., DPD officers witnessed Boston sitting in a vehicle at a business in the 1200 block of North Bowman Avenue. He was arrested and transported to the Public Safety Building. If anyone has further information, contact the Danville Police Department at 217-431-2250 by contacting Vermilion County Crime Stoppers at vccrimestoppers.org or use the P3 Tips app or call anonymously to 217-446-TIPS. Because this is an ongoing investigation, no further information will be released on this incident. The Danville Police Department reminds the public that all arrestees are presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. And we're going to turn now to some stories from the News Gazette. The next one is titled, Danville Native Aims to Build Bridges Between Champaign-Urbana and India. This is by Luke Taylor. Champaign. He might call himself the Indiana Jones of India, but Brian Anton Rose is finding he's pretty happy back home in the U.S. I'm a downstate Illinois kid. That's just the reality, Rose said. It's the polar opposite of Kolkata of 19 million people. Originally from Danville, Rose has lived in India for 15 years, earning recognition as a filmmaker, working in education, and connecting with his community. Now he's hoping to connect India with Champaign-Urbana to benefit students and educators in both places. That Indiana Jones comment might be a joke, but he's earned it after his many adventures in less than two decades. On his first trip to the country, intended to be a casual visit with friends, Rose had to visit an embassy because he didn't have a visa he needed. He found himself restraining what appeared to be an armed gunman. When you're the biggest guy in the room, everybody looks at you like, save us. I was stuck in this room and I was twice his size, so I just rushed him, Rose said. It turned out the man who entered the embassy didn't actually have a gun on him. Once police arrived, Rose just got back in line. That wasn't the last time he drew attention for his height at 6 feet 5 inches. Rose is significantly taller than the average height in India. Rose says people recognize him almost anywhere he goes, even if he doesn't recognize them. Beyond his height, that's because he's made an effort to be part of the community and earn friendship and trust from the people he lives around. However, Rose said India still has work to do when it comes to the perception of foreigners, especially those with darker skin. India is not a racist country. They just lack education culturally. Global cultural education in India is non-existent, so they just go on with what they see in music videos, things like that, Rose said. He said that rumors spread fast, too, with consequences as severe as foreigners being literally lynched in the street. However, Rose said that once he formed personal relationships with his community, they were quick to have his back. I've been in jail. I was shooting a film in 2010, my first film, and I was taken off set by the police for being a Nigerian drug dealer, he said. Fortunately for Rose, that was easy to disprove. He's not Nigerian. The police captain was apologetic for the whole thing, and Rose was on his way home soon. But little did he know his friends from across the country were heading into town. The next morning when I came in, the whole town had rioted outside that police station. I was shocked, because they wouldn't do that for me in America, Rose said. Rose would become the first Black American to direct a feature-length film in India to theatrical release in India. He suspects he is the first American, but that's more difficult to confirm. The press tour for Life with Siren led to further opportunities, including work as a university dean. Rose has also built connections to the Indian government and worked to bring basketball and football to the country. His latest project, founding the U.S. Sports Academy in Kolkata, where he hopes to offer a multicultural education with a focus on sports and build a cultural bridge with the United States. Work on that is ongoing, even as Rose is in the U.S., alongside his numerous other projects and job at Edison Middle School. Rose planned to stay in Champaign for a relatively short time, partly to give himself more time to heal after his father's death, and partly so his wife could obtain U.S. citizenship. Once she has citizenship, she won't have to make annual visits to the States to maintain her green card. Rose picked up a job as a student support advocate at Edison because he lived nearby, thinking it would be short-term because he didn't realize just how long the citizenship process would end up taking. But it's been one of the best experiences of my life, Rose said. It has healed my soul. He loves the school, the kids, the people he works with, and getting the chance to create some programs to be carried on by others as he returns to India. That does mean he's working a full day in Champaign, then switching to work in India, as the two places are in near opposite time zones. The education job has opened Rose's eyes to needs here in Champaign that could be helped by a connection with India and vice versa. Looking at numerous open positions in Unit 4, he can't help but think about the many highly educated, passionate people in India who would love those jobs. Rose also wants more American kids to consider colleges overseas, the same way many young people from other countries consider U.S. schools. Schools in India, like the prestigious film school Rose wanted to attend, or his wife's law school, may be exclusive and difficult to get into. But he was shocked to learn his wife was only spending around $400 a year for her education. While he isn't sure what the bridge between his two communities could look like, Rose is already talking with folks in the school district, at the University of Illinois, and at the U.S. State Department about the future. No matter what happens, he knows he needs to find a way to spend time in both India and in downstate Illinois. "I'm here for me. I'm there for other people," Rose said. "When I'm not here, nobody misses me. There's a hole in the city when I'm not there, in the sports industry and the church community, just the community in general." And now we're going to turn to the obituaries for Tuesday, January 7th. The first today is for Charles R. Buddy Landers. Charles R. Buddy Landers, 62, of Danville, Illinois, passed away on January 2nd, 2025. For the visitation, the family requests that you please wear anything that you think would make Buddy smile. Oh yeah. A celebration of life will be held at 10 a.m. on Friday, January 10th, 2025, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville, Illinois, at 3940 North Vermilion Street. Miles Clark will officiate. The visitation will be held from 5 to 8 p.m. on Thursday, January 9th, at the funeral home. Memorials may be made in Buddy's memory to the Vermilion Heights Christian Church, 725 Oakwood Avenue, Danville, Illinois, 61832. Terry W. Lake. It is with great sadness and sorrow that we mourn the passing of Terry Wayne Lake on January 1st, 2025. Services will be held at Kruger Funeral Home in Danville on January 9th at 1 p.m. Visitation will start at noon. Terry had a tremendous love for flowers, so we would love to send him off surrounded by vibrant colored flowers, family, and friends. Tributes may be left on the Kruger Funeral Home Facebook page. Barbara Jean Davis. Barbara Jean Davis, 88, of Danville, passed away on December 31st, 2024. Visitation will be held from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday, January 6th, at Sunset Funeral Home in Danville. Funeral services will be at 10 a.m. on Monday, January 6th, with Pastor James Blue officiating, followed by a burial at Oak Hill Cemetery at 16824 Shangri-La Road in Oakwood. A visitation will be held from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on January 6th at Sunset Funeral Home in Danville. Melody K. Boyles. Melody K. Boyles, 62, died at 1:12 p.m. Saturday, January 4th at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Anderson Funeral Home, 427 East Main Street in Hubston. Nancy Brown. Nancy Brown, 75, died at 8:28 a.m. Friday, January 3rd, at Carle Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Anderson Funeral Home, 427 East Main Street in Hubston. Catherine M. Kuhn. Catherine Marie, or Kathy Kuhn, 79, of Danville, died at 4:24 p.m. on Wednesday, January 1st, 2025, at home. According to her wishes, she'll be cremated, and private burial will be in Danville National Cemetery in Danville. Rortvedt Funeral Services and Crematory in Tilton is in charge of the arrangements. Phil Grooms. Phil Grooms, 62, of Danville, died at 7:14 a.m. Thursday, January 2nd, 2025, at home. A memorial service will be scheduled at a later date. Rortvedt Funeral Services and Crematory at 3 South Hodge Street in Tilton is in charge of the arrangements. Angelique Jerome. Angelique Jerome, 66, died at 10:47 a.m. Thursday, January 2nd, 2025, at home. Cremation rites will be accorded and a celebration of life will be held at a later date. Anderson Funeral Home at 427 East Main Street in Hubston is in charge of the arrangements. Richard Setzer. Richard A. Setzer, 72, of Tilton, died Friday, January 3rd, 2025, at home. According to his wishes, there will be no services. Rortvedt Funeral Services and Crematory at 3 South Hodge Street in Tilton is in charge of the arrangements. Vicki Steele. Vicki L. Steele, 72, of Danville, died at 9:57 a.m. on Sunday, January 5th, 2025, at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Rortvedt Funeral Services and Crematory in Tilton. And that's the end of the obituaries for this Tuesday. We're going to go to another story from the News Gazette. This one by Jennifer Bailey, titled Danville Facility Extending Reach for Law Enforcement. Danville. The new police training center has been a busy place for learning since it opened last year. The Danville Police Department's new Police and Community Training Center, inside the city's Public Works building on Voorhees Street, opened in April of 2024. And offers the latest in virtual reality technology to train local law enforcement. Philip Wilson, evidence training and recruitment manager with the Danville Police Department, provided a summary of activities and accomplishments of the center during the past year. This facility has played a pivotal role in enhancing the skills of our officers, engaging with our community, and fostering collaboration across various city and local agencies, Wilson stated. Since opening the training center in mid-April 2024, it's seen approximately 400 officer attendances and 31 civilian attendances across 16 classes at the center. Wilson says the number reflects total attendances, meaning many officers attended multiple classes, demonstrating their dedication to continuous training and development. In addition, our virtual reality, or VR, training initiative has been particularly impactful, with 11 VR trainers, 8 from outside agencies, facilitating simulations. We estimate that over 100 individual officers and approximately 25 civilians have participated in at least one VR training session, further enhancing situational preparedness and decision-making skills, he said. The training center also hosts a range of specialized training classes, including high-risk traffic stops, de-escalation, control tactics, emergency medical response, and more. In partnership with Mobile Training Unit 12, we host mandated training classes for regional police departments. We currently have two MTU 12 classes scheduled in the first 3 months of 2025, ensuring continuous skill development for officers in the area, according to Wilson. In addition to training programs, the center regularly hosts meetings for area chiefs of police and the Vermilion County Sheriff's Office, as well as meetings for various city departments and local non-city agencies. Several area police chiefs have toured the facility as they plan to implement similar training centers of their own. Our training center has been recognized as a great example of an effective, modern facility that other agencies aspire to replicate, according to Wilson. The Citizens Police Academy and Junior Citizens Police Academy also were at the training center in the past year with 21 and 22 participants, respectively. These programs underscore our commitment to fostering positive relationships with the community and providing insight into the vital role of law enforcement, Wilson stated. We are proud of the significant contributions to the Danville Police Training Center has made to our community and its impact on advancing the professionalism of our officers. We look forward to continuing to serve as a resource for training, collaboration, and community engagement. The training center was made possible through the assistance of former State Senator Scott Bennett, who died in December of 2022. The city received a $1 million Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity grant to enhance violent crime prevention and community police development. The grant provided funding for the training center with a section of the public works facility that wasn't being used, as well as improvements. And returning to the commercial news for some community briefs announcements, we have the following. Charity on Tap, set for January 8th. Danville Noon Rotary's annual fundraiser, Charity on Tap, takes place Wednesday, January 8th at the Vermilion River Beer Company from 4 to 7 p.m. The mission of Rotary is to provide services to others, promote integrity, and advance world understanding, goodwill, and peace through our fellowship of business, professional, and community leaders. The community's support helps fund projects such as Wreaths Across America, Spring Cleanup Day, the annual Rotary Memorial Way Project, and many more. And we have school board to have work session. The Southeast Fountain School Corporation Board of School Trustees will have a public work session from 6 to 7:30 p.m. in the Southeast Fountain School Corporation office at 744 East U.S. Highway 136, Petersburg, Indiana, today, January 7th. The Board of Fire and Police Commissioners will meet today, January 7th, at 5 p.m. The meeting will take place in the Mayor's Conference Room at the second floor of the Robert E. Jones Municipal Building. And in Westville, Wednesday afternoon at the movies returns to Westville Public Library on January 8th at 2 p.m. Participants will watch Reagan, starring Dennis Quaid. Light refreshments will be served. And on January 8th at 10 a.m., the library will have a preschool program. Children will have story time, a craft, and snacks. And that takes us to the end of our time for this Tuesday, January 7th. 2025. Again, my name is Greg, and as always, it's been a pleasure to read for you. and I hope that you have a splendid day. Take care.